Our epistle for this fourth Sunday in Lent is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 4, verses 22 through 31. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a slave girl, the other by a free woman. The son of the slave girl was born according to the flesh, but the son of the free woman in virtue of the promise. This is said by way of allegory. For these are two covenants. One indeed from Mount Sinai, bringing forth children unto bondage, which is Agar. For Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which corresponds to the present Jerusalem, and is in slavery with her children. But that Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren, that dost not bear. Break forth and cry, thou dost not travail. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that has a husband. Now we, brethren, are children of the promise, as Isaac was. But as then he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also is it now. But what does the Scripture say? Cast out the slave girl and her son, for the son of the slave girl shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Therefore, brethren, we are not children of the slave girl, but of the free woman, in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. At that time, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias. And there followed him a great crowd, because they witnessed the signs he worked on those who were sick. Jesus therefore went up the mountain and sat there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When therefore Jesus had lifted up his eyes and seen a very great crowd had come to him, he said to Philip, When shall we buy bread that these may eat? But he said this to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not enough for them, that each may receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, There is a young boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Jesus then said, Make the people recline. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore reclined in number about 5,000. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, distributed them to those reclining, and likewise the fishes, as much as they wished. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather the fragments that are left over, lest they be wasted. They therefore gathered them up, and they filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. When the people therefore had seen the sign which Jesus had worked, they said, This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. And when Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force and make him king, he fled to the mountain himself alone. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Therefore, brethren, we are not children of the slave girl, but of the free woman in virtue of the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, we have come to the halfway point of Lent. And as we see, Holy Mother of the Church changes things up. We wear rose color. It is as if to make us take a second look and to think, how are we spending our Lent? When we come to a point of doing anything. It is not just what we do that we should concern ourselves with, but why we do it and how we do it. The more important the thing is, the more important it is for us to consider the what, the why, and the how. Oftentimes, we know what we need to do, but then why do we do it? Or do we even do it? And if we do it, why do we do it? And then how do we do it? There have been many things that have been wanted to be done and many failures that has been the outcome. And not just small things, but grand things. For example, life. How am I living my life? Why am I living my life? Why am I doing what I am doing in time? Is my day full of self, or is it full of something greater than self? It is a why what we are doing in our life. It is the why what we are doing in our faith or with our faith. It is the why what we are doing in our Lent. And this is where we have to be serious with ourselves. Otherwise, we're going to be going nowhere, like a truck stuck in the mud, thinking for some reason that we can make up our own rules and make up our own way, and thinking that we are better than we really are. Because this is just plain foolish and a waste of time and a waste of life and a waste of God's grace, and something that each and every one of us, when our time runs out and our life, this life, comes to an end and our eternal life begins, that we're going to have to answer to the good Lord for. We have one life to live. We have been given the gift of faith by the good Lord. We don't deserve any of the gifts that we have been given. If we contemplate what the good Lord has done for us and who He really is to us, then we have hope. We have the gift of hope. And when we turn our sight away from ourselves, we can now see the love of God demonstrated to us. But too many people are blind to this. The majority of people are blind to this in this day and age. I'm not here to judge anyone, but you don't have to look very far to see what really is. But we're not here to look to our neighbor, we're here to look at ourselves. Every day we're given a number of different graces, but then sometimes we are given the shock and awe factor, something that happens around us or to us that wakes us up. And those are moments of grace, and we either use them or we don't use them. And if we use them, then we can profit by them. But if we just like, yeah, okay, I don't want to think about it, and like an ostrich with his head in the sand, we just ignore what's going on around us or the reminders that are given to us, then God's grace is lost on us. People look for happiness and joy in many different avenues. And when it's all said and done, they're all dead ends. For only true joy can come from one source. And that's he who can give joy to the soul. Today we are reminded that we are free women, or we are free men, I should say, from the free woman. The free woman analogy, it says in the epistle, of Holy Mother the Church. We are part of the mystical body of Christ. He is the head, we are the members. Christ has made us free. Uniting His divinity with our humanity, He has bridged the infinite gap that had existed between man and God. and has trailblazed a way to get from time to our home in eternity. But that is all up to us now. Just like a person who has need of help, financially maybe, medically maybe, what have you. And they go to the people who can give them that help. And the person that they go to, they give them a job in order so that they can get money, build their life. Or they go to the doctor and the doctor says, all right, these things need to change in your life, and these are the things you need to start doing, and these are the things you need to start eating, and this is the medicine you need to take. This is what Christ has done for us. Now, I've known people who've gone to the doctor, and they come back from the doctor, and they have the attitude of, what does the doctor know? I mean, he wants me to do this and quit smoking and drinking, start eating this and not eating that and everything. But you know what? Basically, what they come down to say is, I don't care. And such a person, you can't feel sorry for in the decisions that they made if the result is what happens. Jesus said, you regret they make those decisions. Or financially, you might give somebody a job and they don't go to it. They don't clock in. They get fired from their job. Why? Because they don't make good use of the opportunity given to them. And when they don't make good use of the opportunity given to them, what do? Poor you. That's just horrible. Look at you got fired. No. You lost your job. You didn't make good use of the opportunity. And the same thing with life. Especially with everything that Christ has given to us. And our faith. We have been given every opportunity. Easy. He has made it easy. But we have to do our part. He says, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to proceed. This is how you need to live. And either you're going to live it or you're not. That's why he says, if you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Follow me. Just follow me. But in order to follow me, you have to deny yourself. You have to say, okay, you know what? It's my opinion. It doesn't matter how many people agree with me. It's not important. Christ's way is important. Having my life in unison with Christ's life is important. Making sure that I don't just know Christ, but I am one with Christ. Yes, Christ makes it so easy for us to be free from sin. And if we happen to fall, to find that liberty once again, if we're willing to do our part and go to confession and be contrite, he even accepts imperfect sorrow. He has given us the opportunity to abide in his love, but he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then what does he promise if we make that effort? My Father will love you, and we will come to you and make our abode in you. Isn't that the purpose of life? If you want to be a saint, that's what it means. Becoming a saint doesn't happen in eternity. It happens now. And each individual decides whether or not they want to become a saint. Either they live for the present or they live for eternity. Well, don't get me wrong. You have to live in the present, but you live in the present for eternity. You make good use of every opportunity. And as we look in our past life, yeah, there might be regrets, but we don't hold on to them. We learn from them. We rise from them. We live in the moment, and our focus is on our true home, which is heaven. Christ has empowered us, not just by the incarnation of Him uniting His divinity with our humanity, not just by the debt that He paid when He died the death of the cross, not by the victory that He had over death, over the devil, and over sin, but He has empowered us with Himself. Stop for a moment, pause for a second, and consider your faith and what we have here today. In a few moments, you're going to come up to Holy Communion. Today we are given the gospel of the multiplication of loaves and fish. And St. John starts that gospel by saying, "Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near," as if he were to connect this miracle with the upcoming Last Supper and sacrifice Christ would make. And as we are told by the commentators and the teachings of the church, the commentators of the scriptures and the teachings of the church, these miracles of the multiplication of loaves and fish, were miracles to prefigure the great miracle of the Eucharist, which we have. Why do we have this great miracle? Because of the love that He has for us. We have Him. Either you believe that and you go to Him and you allow Him to abide in you and empower you to become the saint you're meant to become, or you don't. Even if you come up to Holy Communion, if you just come up to Holy Communion, same old, and you don't make good use of this time, of this moment, then it won't be a profit to you. It will be a detriment. But if you do, now you can have joy, peace, goodness, love that's eternal. Remember what our Lord says, "Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you shall not have life within you." Not just physically eating, but consume Him in our very heart and soul. And allow yourself to be consumed by Him and His love. Now we have purpose. That means that when we go out into the world, we take Christ out into the world with us. We introduce Him to the stranger because of who we are. Not self-centered, not worldly, but Christ-centered. Yeah, if you haven't done that, there's a problem. That's something that we have to look to. If we come and do the church thing and then we go back out into the world and we're just like every other person out there, something's wrong. But if we allow Christ to take hold of our heart, yeah, now we can be instruments of His. And there can be more hope in the world. So at this halfway point in Lent, let us consider what we are doing this Lent. Are we doing the bare minimum? Kinda. The fast, the abstinence? Or have we taken upon ourselves more penance? Perhaps for our past sins and offenses? Perhaps for poor sinners, like our Blessed Lady of Fatima said, so many souls go to hell because there's no one to sacrifice and to pray for them. The penances that we do take upon ourselves, why are we doing them? Are we uniting our penances, our sacrifices, especially the sacrifice of our daily duty with the sacrifice of Christ on His cross? If we're not, then it's worthless. It's a waste of time and effort and energy. It only has worth if it's connected to Him. And then the how are we doing it? Are we doing it consistently? Are we doing it willingly? Are we doing it lovingly? Selflessly? Yeah, how is a great thing for us to consider. Because as I've said before to you, and I've said before to many other people, and I say to myself often, attitude is a choice. A bad attitude is a bad choice, and a good attitude is a good choice. And the greatest choice is putting God first each day, every day. But no one can do it for you but you. And consider this, He has already put you first. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.